You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome. You are officially on the couch here with me, Dr. Michelle Cohen. And as always, every Tuesday at noon here in beautiful Pacific Southern California time, we are together. And all over the world where you are connecting in your particular time zone, welcome, everybody. I have an amazing guest today, and she has written and photographed, illustrated, in other words, a beautiful, inspiring book. And we're going to be talking about her book today and how it all came to be, as well as her inspirations, her muses, and what you can learn on how to cope with these difficult times right now. So, Susan Latz, welcome to the couch.
Hi, everyone. I'm so glad to be here.
So nice to have you. I really loved your book.
Thank you. I loved it
because it really, really helps a lot of people, and it's going to help a lot of people. What I've decided to do, and I place a little kind of post-its here because I don't want to make dog ears in her book. Look at how beautiful this is. It's a heart's landscape, and it is full of so much information to help you out. Let me give you a little bit of information about Susan Latz, and then we'll get into the book and some of the inspirational ideas that she's going to be sharing with you all on how to just have a more joyful life, how to cope with all the things that we're dealing with in the world these days, and just really be more aware. Susan, by the way, earned a teaching degree in creative drama from, you are so lucky, the Kibbutz and College of Education, Technology, and the Arts in Israel.
Yes.
What a great place. I'm so jealous. She taught creative drama at a local elementary school and continued her studies at focusing on meditation and Jewish spirituality. Throughout her educational career, Susan also studied Jewish healing, sacred psychology, spiritual practices as a path of healing as well. And also, she is working as a spiritual counselor, specializing in, but not limited to, those individuals touched by illness, grief, and loving through death. She lectures and leads workshops in the topics of awareness in making room for joy. And of course, we're talking about morning inspiration. Her email, she's got an amazing newsletter, and it's released 3 times a week, very inspirational to help others. And she is also the co-owner of Naut Footwear. Is that how you pronounce it, my dear?
Naut.
Got it. It's a company that ethically manufactures handmade comfort shoes, and of course, they're handmade love in Israel. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Lovely to
pleasure.
Have you. So this book we're talking about and so many things that you do for others, what a beautiful way to share your thoughts. There are beautiful pictures in this book that go along with all of Susan's wonderful messages. And, you know, I always enjoy asking my guests what inspired them or, you know, what it was that really sparked them to say, I've got to do this book. I've really got to make this happen. So I understand that some of the seeds that, you know, were planted to create your book sort of began with something that was a bit distressing in your life. Is that right?
So the book actually came about way after Morning Inspiration. So Morning Inspirations began... the seed for Morning Inspiration began about 13 years ago when a very close friend of mine was touched by cancer. And she didn't want anyone helping her or coming over or taking her. She wanted to deal with this on her own and not to talk about it.
Sure.
And out of respect and honor towards her soul's requests, I didn't, but I missed her. I missed the contact with her.
Yes.
I missed not being able to give my hand,
my heart.
Sure. And so I decided to send her an email. And in the email, I spoke about anything and everything, but not about cancer. and not about her illness.
Right.
And I wrote to her and I said to her, Stephanie, I'm sending you an email. You don't have to answer it. And if you want me to stop sending you these emails, just let me know.
Sure.
So every morning I would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I knew she was going for treatment.
Yes.
And I would write some words that had nothing to do with her illness because it was important for me that she knew that she was still Stephanie.
Yes.
The illness was part of her story, but that's not who she was.
Beautiful.
And probably about 7 months or 6 months within, I got the flu and I didn't get up to write to her.
Sure.
And we had never spoken about it within those 6 months.
Yes.
I had seen her. She never mentioned them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And at 7:30 in the morning, I get a phone call. Mm-hmm. Susan, where is my morning blessing?
And you're.
And I was like, whoa. And I realized there the power
right.
of words, the power of an inspirational moment.
Yes.
That we, Michelle, we really don't know for us when we say something, how that stays with someone else's heart, where that takes them.
Yes. That
right?
is amazing. Yes, exactly. We just don't.
And so she, I continued to do this. But in the meanwhile, I was working with women that were post and pre-mastectomies as a spiritual counselor and in doctor's offices. And they heard I was doing this and they said, wait a second, why is she getting the morning blessings and we're not?
Yeah, beautiful.
And so morning inspiration was born.
Yes. So you started the morning blessings and those were daily emails for the soul. And so that expanded more and more people wanted. And also in your book, I was reading how, you know, it was primarily you were working with a lot of women who had breast cancer issues, yes. et cetera. Then it started expanding to more and more, and men started reaching out to you and saying, hey, wait a minute. Where's my little morning blessing here, Susan?
Correct.
And then the whole world exploded.
Well, what happened is, you know, I'm a really strong believer that messages come to people when they open their hearts to receive them.
Yes.
And so I never took morning inspiration as, and, you know, I have that business hat also owning, you know, I'm a co-owner of Neot, which is a shoe right. company, right? And I never thought of morning inspiration as something that I would put out there and advertise. I just, it would reach who it needed to reach. And lo and behold, that is what has happened.
Yes. Yes. Well, I it's so true. It's amazing in your book, you elaborate on the suggestion and also in this book, and it's sort of a repetitive theme going through there, but it's the way, it is the way of the universe that when we're ready to receive what we need, it finds us.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
And I think if more people really understood that and really understood how to allow, and another point many times expressed in your book is, and listen. And that can be tough for us, can't it, in this day and time? With everything going on, being flooded with everything.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I will give you an example that's very correct. And I'm going to bring you two examples of when we are faced with challenges that are so hard for us, what we can do in that moment with a listening heart, with an attentive heart. And so in these last 10 days, I just returned from Tel Aviv because I live on the line. I live in Tel Aviv and in New York.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And about last week, not far from my home, there was a terrorist attack.
Oh.
I'm very close to where I live. And when you're in that moment, it's what do you do with that challenge? And what do you listen to?
Right.
And where do you focus?
Yeah.
Where do you take your heart? And I think I use that as such a tool to be able to say, okay, you know, we're getting on to this next moment and we're getting, and it is so empowering.
Yes.
So empowering.
Yes.
And here in New York today, again, you know, my daughter travels that subway. She's a doctor. Right. And for some reason, she did not go at that moment, at that time on that subway. Mm. And listening again, how do I deal with that moment?
Yes, exactly.
And saying gratitude, you know, gratitude.
Oh, yes.
Gratitude for anything and everything that can come into your moment.
Yes, yes. And I so agree with that. That's beautiful. And you do express that a lot in your book, A Heart's Landscape. That repetitive, you know, thought of how important gratitude is. And something else that you emphasize, and I totally agree with you and believe, and I'm on my journey, as we all are still, and I have a lot to learn. But even in the difficult times, excuse me, talking too much, that's one of my lessons. But we'll touch on silence as well. I love that. You know, it's really important to give gratitude for the difficult things we must encounter and the fearful things we must encounter. And because I believe that these things are brought to us, perhaps, or we have attracted them, perhaps. I'm still on that journey trying to understand, for a reason to learn. And
yeah.
Gratitude for that moment, and ask our higher selves, whoever, you know.
So I agree with you, but I take a sidestep, and sometimes I feel that we don't need to know the answers.
All right.
Okay. We don't need to know the answers of why this pain has come to me. We don't need to understand that, because there's, you know, dealing with end of life and with people that are touched by cancer, that are going through towards the exit of this world many times, and to the family that's around there, there are no answers.
True.
Right? But there can be gratitude for what that moment, yes, enables us. You know, it's, I was listening to a podcast, and I was listening to Susan Cain.
Yes.
And her book about bittersweet.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think that's a perfect place. I've never met her.
Yes.
But I think, you know, she somehow is listening to our conversation right now.
Yeah.
Because it's a perfect place,
yes,
for this bittersweet to,
yes,
appear.
Boy, mm-hmm. That's beautifully said. And knowing it.
And knowing it. And,
yes,
being able to say, you know, it's like someone asked me, what started you on your, this spiritual counseling that you went to study? You know, I grew up. Where did you go? You were doing something different. You were starting a company. What happened here? And, you know, sometimes there's a painful moment that appears before us.
Yes.
And that moment can take us over. And it's that, where do we get the courage to make the next step forward? And where does that come from? And so I think that there, right, are heart messages come. And we get to say so many heart messages, but let's choose the,
yes,
one that allows us to enable the courage to take the next step. And I think for me,
yes,
it was like, wow, I took that courage, you know, and I said, okay, I'm going to move forward. And I'm going to say, and all of a sudden, it was all this beauty of positivity and this beauty of saying, wait, even in the most hard times, one moment of joy, one moment of gratitude, one moment of a smile like you're conveying now can just change all the moments to follow.
Oh, you know, it's so important to embrace those moments. And, you know, if you're talking to someone who is creating neural patterns that are more positive, and we're growing more neural patterns towards the positive because we keep reinforcing, you know, there goes my psychological side, but we keep reinforcing those beautiful moments and the joyful moments. And also in your book, A Heart's Landscape, you also talk about cherishing, you know, and going back and remembering, and how beautiful it is. You know,
well, I think, you know, remember when we had photo albums?
Yeah, we have a lot of those. Thank you, Mom.
Exactly, right? Yeah. So now we have our cell phones, and the photos are there. But I think we have something that's called a heart photo album. You know, it's like we can have those snapshots of something that allowed us to go, that allowed us to just fill with enormous joy. Yes. And so I can share today, you know, I'm a safta, which is in Hebrew is a grandmother of five.
Wow.
And, yes. And today is my oldest granddaughter's birthday. And she's 10. And I can say that that moment, that snapshot in yes. my heart of oh, seeing yeah. her.
Yes.
Of seeing her and is forever yes. going to be a source and yes. a tool for me when oh. there's a moment of challenge to just yes. close my eyes and remember that moment. Oh.
And though that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Susan. And yeah, those are going into your heart moments. I mean, that's what we're all about. You know, it's the heart brain coherence, but you've really got to ask questions and visualize and do things from the heart because of all those 40,000 sensory neurites, which feel.
Correct.
You know, but also it's a real thing and very important. By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, and my special guest, Susan Lax. She has created a beautiful book. It is inspiring. It is going, by the way, in the lobby of my office. So my clients can read it and get peaceful while they're waiting. There it is, A Heart's Landscape. And it's an invitation to the Garden of Moments, many beautiful moments and reflections that, Susan, you share with everybody on life. And this is a full, beautiful book that people can really learn from. I mean, I'm reading it here and there's 212 pages, but it's one of those kind of books you pick up every day and get an inspiration. Not only that, but you have beautiful photographs, beautiful pictures. Susan, were you the photographer or did you?
No, yes, I am. Those were all my photos.
Oh, they're just gorgeous, and they're landscapes and seascapes, and they're peaceful. And you know, just by looking at the pictures in this book, you can get peaceful. I mean, look at this beautiful sunflower. Oh my yeah. God, wonderful pictures! And along with the words that are written, things to do, to be in a moment of silence and listen and be in the now, things like that just really helps people captivate the moments. When you're right. feeling down, like you said, when you're having challenges in your life and you pick up this book and what I was doing with it while I've had it is closing my eyes and saying, what do I need to learn today? So I'll close my eyes and I'll open a page and I'll go, oh my gosh, sometimes the sun hides. Here you go. Look at that. Under the clouds. And of course, the metaphor, it's tough some days. I was having a rough day that day.
Oh.
There were some things going on here. And with the family, and I went, wait a minute, now and then the sun will peek quietly through the clouds and we have to embrace those moments. So these are all beautiful messages.
Oh.
Anyway, you can get the book on Amazon.com. And also we're going to talk more about some of the beautiful messages in there from you, Susan. What is your website where people can also find out more about you? We can just dip right into this in the middle of the show. Here.
Susan P. Lax.
What would be the
.com.
Perfect. And you can find out more, you know, about how to get Susan's book, who she is, her morning blessings, and her counseling, et cetera, and healing practices as well. So there's something else I wanted to talk about as well, which is, you know, there's all these little pages that I haven't dog-eared, but I've, you know, Mark, that I really wanted to bring out that were very meaningful to me, really important to me. And it is what we were discussing earlier about silence. On page 10, I went, oh, I was really attracted to that. If it's okay, I'll read it. Because
it's
beautiful. It says, listen to what I have to say. Hear me. Hear what my heart is voicing. There's no need to coach. There's no need to ask questions. Hold my hand, hug me, but please don't use words. Look into my eyes and let your unconditional compassion hold my soul. Listen to what I have to say. Be with me, just be with me. And that is so beautiful. How come people just can't do that as easily these days, Susan?
You know, I don't think it's only these days. Okay. I think it's always been.
Yeah.
I think it's probably one of the things about an attentive heart and about being aware of your moment.
Yeah.
Is that there is that breath that before we say something, before we react, we're not on that heart raceway. You know, there's this raceway that we're on all the time. Automatic pilot. We have to get here. We have to get there. We have to do this. And so we have to react.
Right.
We have to quickly react.
Yeah.
But with an attentive heart and practicing awareness, we know, no, it's okay. It's okay to stop for a second. And we also have that immediate want to fix a situation. We want to be fixers.
Yep.
And that's not our job.
Yeah.
You know, our job is to just be there. And one of the best things I learned from someone many years ago, in a workshop I was doing, and one of the people, and one of the questions is, well, how do you deal with death? What do you say to someone? And someone said to me, just say, how can I show up for you?
Yes. That's beautiful.
Don't ask them, what can I bring? Where do I go? Just say, how can I show up for you?
And that's really, you know, a lot of people just don't think of that. And that's a beautiful message in a way that we can express ourselves just to be.
Yeah. And being without words sometimes is so much more powerful than any word. I mean, you know, if you hug someone,
yes,
in a moment, you can't say anything that beats that.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Whoever it is, exactly. Interesting. I love to share little antidotes or little situations too. My father was quite ill for a long time, and we were all hoping that he wasn't in pain. Right. I was sitting near his bedside, and his caregiver was standing next to me, loving man. And he said, who's Lewis? Who's dad? Dad, Lewis? And I went, that's Grandpa Roth. And he said, he's talking to that person and he's having conversations. He said, I don't hear this person, but he's having these conversations. And I was holding my dad's hand and he took my hand. He was pretty much out of it. And he pushed it away, like said, go away, go away. And I went, okay, I have been here with you for hours. I'm here. I will go away. I heard you. I will go away. And I pulled away and, you know, said thank you to the caregiver and wished him, you know, be back, Dad, later. And shortly after that, he passed away. So that was, for me, exactly what you're saying, the importance of how can I show up for you? And when he was ready to transition to whatever, he kind of let me know whatever through the caregiver he was talking to, Grandpa, and I'm done. Thank you for showing up.
Right. What a wonderful gift you gave him. And he gave you.
Oh,
and
yes.
And it, so many times when I'm, you know, in that room with the family or before and with my guidance, I see that message that goes through. And I say, you know, listen to what they are telling you, even if they're not speaking. Listen, you know, they can hear you. You can hear them. You have that connection,
yes.
You know, and it is amazing.
Yes.
That occurs, right?
It is amazing. And I find more and more I hear stories, you know, from clients of mine, patients of mine, other practitioners, psychiatrists, people who have experienced the same thing, who work in hospitals. I worked with them for years. And yeah, I mean, and it is, and I'm not professing any spiritual belief system or whatever, but it is an occurrence which is, I see, frequent. You know, in my work, so
right, and we can translate that to life.
Yes,
Okay, we can translate that into everyday life. You know, it doesn't only have to be as someone is exiting.
Yes, that's right? Exactly. The moments, all those special moments of, you know, whatever that means. So this is another thing that really knocked my socks off. It's on page 18 here. And it's about becoming more accepting of our own humanness and limitations. And it's a beautiful say, I've witnessed the ability of humankind to discover acceptance, to let go of prior judgments, to embrace another with an open heart and clear vision. But I believe that when we can become more accepting of our own humanness and limitations, we can become more accepting of others' humanity and limitations. Wow. I think this is one of the most common issues that I hear from people. Keeps me busy. But it's how can we become more accepting of our own limitations and humanness? I mean, there's so many of us that, oh, I could have done better. And I'm not just talking about a lot of, well, it's a joke in my family, a lot of Jewish guilt.
I hear you.
it's everyone has a sense of, you know, I'm not good enough, or I haven't been enough of enough, or how could I be there for others?
So that question comes up so often, right? Yeah. And I'm sure in your practice it comes out, and it comes out so much, especially when I work with a group, right?
Yes, yes.
Because it's everybody's going, oh, you feel that way? Oh, you feel that way? You know? Yeah. And so I think the best thing is to, for me, is I take the hand and I tell everyone, take your hand and close your eyes for a second and put it on your heart. And if you put your hand in your heart, do you feel that beat? You feel it? And if you don't, we're in big trouble. But if you feel it, and they say yes, and I say, that miracle that you feel is you.
Wow.
And you are a miracle. And yes. No two miracles are alike. And no two souls are alike. And what makes the humanity and the humanness of each of us so amazing is that we are not alike. And so good enough, it comes from wanting to be like someone else.
Yes.
Or like something else.
Yes.
But if we can start to realize the miracle of who we are, and the unique, amazing soul that we are, yes. Is I remember I taught my grandson, who's now seven, and I said to him, Liron, his name is Liron, and I said to him, Liron, do you know there's only one Liron like you?
That's true.
And he said, no, there are more Lirons. I said, but there's only one Liron that was born exactly on your birthday, at exactly your time, with exactly your eyes and exactly your smile. And he named with me all the things that were only his. And I thought an innocence of a child, maybe we have to do that. Yes. Maybe we have to name all the things that are just us.
Right. Right. It's so true. It is beautiful the way he broke it down. How cute. Is that lovely? And you talk about all of the lessons we can learn from the children. Can you share a little bit more about that? What other things should we learn, and how can we become more childlike?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you for that. Because I continued, someone said to me, what is your soul age?
Ah. Uh-huh.
And I said, ooh, what a great question. And then I said, I don't know, maybe 10.
That's a good age.
And I chose to be a teacher for creative drama because I had this great need to share with children that they don't have to stop being children.
Oh, yes.
And one of the ways that drama always helped was that we can be whoever we want to be. We get to be creative,
yes.
in ways, right? And when we become adults, we sometimes go, I got to stop doing that. I've got to be an adult.
Right.
And, you know, what the world expects from me.
Right.
But it's not about what the world expects from me. It's what I expect for myself. So if I can convey to myself that learning from children about their innocence, about their awe, about their wonder, about their curiosity.
Yes.
And keep that alive.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Is that
wow.
true? Exactly. Ah, that's beautiful. Learning and I
write about that in my book of the different situations. My grandchildren continue to take me back to that. They continue, you know, they play. I think in my book, I wrote about how they played softball with no bat and no ball. And I was like, oh my God, they did this for 45 minutes.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, it's just amazing. I love it. Isn't that wonderful how much we can learn from children? By the way, guys, in case you just tuned in here with me on the couch, this is the book we're talking about. Pardon my little post-it stuck in there. But these are my favorite parts of the book, too. A Heart's Landscape. Susan Lax, my special guest here with me on the couch. This book is beautiful. An Invitation to the Garden of Moments. Beautiful, inspirational book. Everyday lessons. Perfect gifts. Ooh, I'm keeping this one, though. This is going on my coffee table. And I'm going to buy another one to put in my office, in the lobby, because it's very important that my, I hate to say patients, because I just clients come and see this. So all of these pictures have been taken by Susan. Ooh, there they are. Every page has a beautiful picture on it, whether it's flora and fauna, faces of people, beautiful landscapes, the ocean, whatever you want, seascapes. And also there's words of wisdom on every single page that coincide with the beautiful pictures. So these are really inspirational things. And you can also get this book anywhere you'd like on Amazon. And also we'll be providing in the archives a little more information about how you can find Susan and get the book. I wanted to also talk about something. You know, we were talking about self-forgiveness. You know, and we were talking about being patient with ourselves and trying to get through that. And you talk about protecting the unique beauty of hope. You say, a wish like hope is fragile. It must be held with a gentle heart, caressed with non-judgmental softness. A wish like hope is fragile. And, you talk about having passion and awareness because they're required to keep its golden light ignited. And again, we are having and always have, as you mentioned, a lot of tough times throughout our lives. And we have, I don't know if they're tests or we just have things that come to us that we must, you know, endure and deal with. So how can we acquire more passion and more awareness to keep the hope alive for all of us? What are some of the ways in which we can do that?
Wow, there's many. And as I said before, Michelle, there are no two people that the exact way works for them. And people say to me, so tell us what to do. And I go, no. You're going to tell you what to do. I'm just going to be here to help you open those doors to your soul, because what works for me may not work for you.
Right.
So I think practicing awareness and practicing an attentive heart, and there are different ways to do it, and for everybody it's different, is like food for the soul. It just allows us to say, well, if I can look at this flower, just instead of rushing, all of a sudden I can see and practice it.
Yes.
Really practice stopping for a moment, wherever you are.
Yes.
And see something that you never saw before. You may walk on the same road. You may take the same train. But all of a sudden, you go, wait, pay attention.
Yes.
And then your heart comes along.
Yes.
And your soul says, oh, I'm coming too.
Yes.
And your mind and your eyes. And all of a sudden, it becomes part of you. And that's a practice.
Wow.
And then when we practice that, hope is part of that. You know, if we can remember every morning,
yes,
like the sunrise, hope is born again.
Yes, yes.
And hope is not about changing the world. Hope is not about making someone who is terminally ill better.
Yes.
Hope is about a moment.
Ooh, yes.
And just making that moment good. And if I can have that control, that power over making a moment.
Yes, yes.
A happier one, a yes. better one.
Yes.
And hope is there. Mm. Wow. Wow. Mm. What strength that gives us.
Yes. It is so true. It gives us such an amount of strength.
It's a platform for courage.
Yes. It sure is, isn't it? It sure is. And also, even in, as you discussed earlier, the bittersweetness. Mm. In those moments of pain or discomfort or challenges that are approaching us, sometimes it's good to embrace it and have a good cry. You talk about crying in your book, you know, it's cleansing, right?
Well, so in Judaism, there is a tradition that one, I'm not a religious practicing Jew, I'm a progressive Jew, and I practice Judaism from my heart in a very happy way. But there is a tradition that one goes to something that is called the mikveh, where it is a bath, and there is a ritual that you immerse yourself,
yes,
and you cleanse your soul, basically. Yes. And I like to say that our tears are our own private mikveh.
Yes.
It yeah. enables us to purify, mm-hmm. to wash out what we don't need, mm-hmm. and again, to always make room for joy.
Yes. Yes.
And the tears, you know, they do that. Those salty water that comes out makes room for the sweetness that can come in.
Oh, so. Beautifully said, Susan. And also, you know, we do cry happy tears as well. And that's when we have to say thank you, you know, for this mitzvah of, you know, those are happy tears too. And that's
yeah. They mix. They yeah. salt and the sweet come together.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Beautifully. So, you know, if you all would like to learn more about Susan and pick up her book, this is really inspirational. Every day it's got a beautiful message for you, your special message, and maybe several a day. Or if you have a book and you can't put it down, go for it. A Heart's Landscape, An Invitation to the Garden of Moments, Inspirational Words Throughout Life. Susan's journey. Susan's also your beautiful in-depth and from my point of view, very spiritual teachings, which are lovely.
Thank you
for sharing this book with me and with everyone else out there who are watching us today and listening to us, by the way, on LA Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me. And thank you to all the listeners. And I just want to end, first of all, I always learn from someone when I talk to them. And so I really appreciate your open heart and your open heart, which is listening with all of you. And I also just want to send a prayer out to all those people right now that are in the midst of wars, and may moments of peace and good and love find them. Thank you.
Mm. Thank you. Amen. Thank you for that, Susan. Well, blessings to you as well, my dear. And
Thank you. And
appreciate you for coming on the couch here.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. You can see the archives and all the information about how to get Susan's book, again, A Heart's Landscape, coming up in the archives probably in the next couple of days here on LA Talk Radio. Thanks for joining me. And as I always say to you guys, take good care of yourselves first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.